morning again. As I said in the beginning, my name is Pastor Brandon Marshner. My family and I moved to Moorhead, actually, Moorhead, Minnesota, about 4 or 5 months ago. And our call is to plant a church. So we're kind of starting out at St. Paul's Free Lutheran in Fargo and hoping to plant a church in the Fargo-Moorhead area. So maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that a little bit more at Sunday school, but if I could just ask one thing before I get started here of the congregation, would you guys pray for us? We really need prayers as we begin planting the church there. And so I would just ask you as a congregation to do that, and thank you for that as well. Our sermon text this morning is the gospel text, which is from Luke chapter 6. Verses 27 through 38. I encourage you to open up in your Bibles to that. I will be kind of going back and referring to that fairly often, so you want to keep your Bibles open and be good. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. This is in a section of Luke. I'll have you stand up. Sure, go ahead, stand up. Yep. Again, just a little context before I read the text here. This is in a section in Luke that's called the Sermon on the Plain. We're all probably familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. That's found in Matthew. And the Sermon on the Plain here in Luke has a lot of very similar elements to the Sermon on the Mount, but Luke is actually he's fairly precise. He said that when Jesus comes to a level place, so this is kind of a plain. And I think what's going on here, it sounds very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. What's going on is that when Jesus went around teaching, he taught on the same sorts of things often. And so a lot of the same themes and teachings that we see and hear in the Sermon on the Mount is found here in Luke as well, the Sermon on the Plain. Important to keep in mind, Jesus is talking to the disciples here. Even in our text, it begins by saying, "I say to you who hear." Jesus interacts with the Pharisees from time to time, but this he is speaking to those that have believed on him. His disciples are the audience. I think that's significant as we look at this text this morning. So again, this is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. And this is Jesus is the one speaking here. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." Heavenly Father, this is your word, and your word is truth. We ask now that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, Lord, would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The golden rule. I think we're pretty familiar. It's a Bible verse and teaching the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's part of our text here this morning. I've been working on teaching my kids the golden rule. And we get to work in some pretty concrete situations. You know, if you don't want your brother to take your trucks and Hot Wheels cars from you, you probably shouldn't take his either. Or you can kind of reverse it. You know, well, if you don't want your sister to laugh at you, you probably shouldn't be laughing at her right now. And so we get to learn the golden rule. And it takes a long time to learn the golden rule. And if we're honest with ourselves, adults, we're still learning it, aren't we? We're still learning it. We still have a lot to learn about do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We're going to hear about that again today as Jesus teaches in the text. And so we'll look at the golden rule. We also want to point out as we work in this text that God is merciful. And the gospel is there in that as well. And so we'll talk about that in kind of in the middle of the text. And at the end, it talks about receiving back. And so we'll talk about that and hear about receiving back as well. First of all, the golden rule. You got your Bibles open? Look at verse 31 there. Verse 31, it says, "And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them." Now, there it is, golden rule. We've all heard it before. We've probably been hearing it our whole lives. Maybe it's hanging up on some kind of a wall hanging in your house. But do unto others. And we've all had a long time to think about this and to recognize this kind of this basis of morality for others. I would just point out something that you probably already know, that here, the idea is that it kind of starts with you, right? So as you wish that others would do to you. It's not wait until others are nice to you and then start doing nice things back to them. No, it's as you would wish others to do so to them. And we know that when families or relationships or communities are able to follow such a statement of morality like this, that there's a lot of harmony that comes. When we do to others what we would wish them to have to you. And it's kind of interesting for me, I came across something in, I was reading it, remember, you know the guy Confucius, the Chinese philosopher? He lived before Jesus. He actually said a very similar thing to this, kind of in the reverse, I believe it was, don't do to others what you would have them to do to you, or something like that. But he knew that too. This is something that I think it's part of perhaps God's law written on our hearts, but it's something that can be reasoned at least from God's law. And so we can see that in some ways it's kind of a common sense sort of a thing. And so even other good moral teachers will teach on the golden rule, something like that. And certainly Jesus affirms and confirms it by teaching it here. But Jesus goes far beyond it and actually says some things in the verses before and after this that is quite radical that somebody like Confucius probably could never say. Look at verse 27. Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you." This is, according to common sense, probably unexpected. Right? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. We would expect rather something like we hear in the Old Testament, an eye for an eye. Right? That you do back. Well, whatever they do to you, if you have an enemy, well, you hate them right back. Jesus says, no, right? Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. I think it's important that we understand this in context, especially of persecution. A few verses before our text, in verse 22, Jesus refers to persecution, those who are reviled and spurned because of the Son of Man, because of Jesus. And so this would be especially applicable to enemies of Christians, that we love them. I would remind us that love is not just a feeling. we hear about love a lot in this world, and usually we hear some, you know, and they're talking about kind of the ooey-gooey feelings, and love is a pretty general term. You know, you can talk about, I can talk about how much I love my children, and I can also talk about how much I love pizza, and they're both true, right? But we recognize those are two different things, right? In the same way, when we're talking about love here in the scriptures, certainly feelings are part of it, but it's primarily that of action. Willful action, sacrificing, self-sacrificing yourself for another. That's what love is. And so it's not just feeling good, having good feelings towards your enemies, but sacrificing yourself willingly for those that hate you. That's fairly radical. That should kind of make us stop and think a little bit when we hear that. And how is it, we might ask, well, what does this look like in our lives? Well, we can think of enemies of Christians. We might not come face to face all that often with maybe someone that we think of as an enemy of Christian, maybe like a Muslim terrorist or something like that. But even them, we are called on to love. As Jesus says, love your enemies. Maybe more likely in our lives, we have kind of personal enemies. And maybe it's because of your faith. Maybe there are other reasons why. Maybe it's your neighbor, because your neighbor blew a bunch of snow on top of your car. That would probably make an enemy. You wouldn't want to do that. Maybe it's someone in your family that did something wrong to you, and so you haven't talked to them in 10 years. Right? We kind of think of them as an enemy. Maybe it's some other situation. In any situation we find ourselves having an enemy or someone who hates us, we are called on by Jesus to love them. To love them. He goes on to say in verses 32 through 34, he says, and I'll just summarize it, he just says, it's nothing special to love those who love you already. The world already even does that. Sinners do that. Right? But we are to love our enemies. The good news is, as we said, we're still learning this as adults, right? I don't know if any of us have figured this out perfectly yet. And we probably fail at this often. And the good news comes in the next verses here in our text, that God operates in this manner as well. That he has loved even his enemies. Look at verse 35. And this is where we find the gospel here in this text. I'll read the whole verse 35, but pay attention to that last sentence, the last phrase there. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind and grateful, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. This is how God is too. It says in Scripture that because of our sin and our sinful nature, we are enemies of God. And what did God do for his enemies? Did he pay them back in the same way? Well, it says in the book of Romans, it says that Jesus came, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. This is how God loves. This is how God has loved you. While you were an enemy of God, while you are a sinner even, Christ has died for you, and therefore your sins are forgiven. Jesus has died for the ungrateful and the sinner. And this really kind of turns things back on its head then, because it's not that we are loving our enemies so that we can be like God, or so that we can have God's favor, but rather because God has loved us, because he has forgiven us and loved us even in our sin, we get to love our enemies. We get to be like God. It says in our text, we get to be like our Father, right? Verse 36, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. And just think on that moment, on that the Father idea. It's one of the things, you know, that sometimes we can pass over easily because we just don't think, we pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday, our Father, But just think about how significant that is, that a holy God, the holy God of the universe, invites you to call him your Father. That's a pretty intimate thing, isn't it? You are his children because he's made you his children by faith in Christ. Therefore, he is your Father, and we ought to be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. But we love because he has first loved us. God is merciful. The last part of our text talks about receiving back. And it starts off with judging. And we've heard a lot of these verses a lot before. These are familiar ones. It says in verse 37, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. When we hear judge not here, I believe what's being spoken of here is not just kind of like petty judgments. Like you might judge someone for the kind of shoes they wear, or what kind of haircut they get, or what kind of vehicle they have, right? It's not good to judge people in those sorts of ways either. But the judging that's being talked about here is more spiritual judging and spiritual condemning. It's not our job to judge someone's soul. That's God's job. We let him do that. Rather, we are to forgive. Right? Forgive and you will be forgiven, it says. We are to give. Verse 38, give and it will be given to you. How are we to give? That's described as well in 38. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. The idea is above and beyond. Above and beyond. God will give back even to us. Let me think of the gifts that God has given us. To be united with him. To have the hope of the resurrection we heard about in the epistle lesson today as well. He has given great and wonderful gifts. Much more we know and understand than we deserve. And yet, he is merciful, and he is gracious. He gives above and beyond, bountifully, to us. And so this also then helps us when we think about loving others again. We can love others, not because of who we are. In my own nature, I want to get back at people. And get, you know, and find revenge. And that we all feel that. But by faith in Christ, Christ lives in us and lives through us. And he has forgiven. And he through us, lives the life of mercy and grace. My kids, they need to learn the golden rule. Even more so, we need to learn Jesus. And learn the good news of forgiveness in him. We need to know the love of a Savior that has shown his love for us by dying. And that's true for us as adults as well. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that you have come and died in our place for our sins. Because of that, we are forgiven by faith in you, Lord. We have full forgiveness, and you dwell within us. Lord, we pray that you would help and help us to live our lives loving our enemies, Lord. Show us the areas that we can do that, Lord. Give us opportunities to love those, even those who hate us. We pray it in Jesus' name.